one of the most, of all the verses in the Bible, this is one of the most wonderful things that God did in regard to humanity. This is an unbelievable grace blessing to every one of us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Let's read it together. Genesis 1, 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. What an unbelievable blessing and giving dignity to the creature, man, especially compared to any other living creature on earth. This is dignity. According to a recent ruling by an employment tribunal in Britain, Christians must submit to LGBTQ requests or risk forfeiting their livelihood. As a Christian doctor was forced out of his job in the United Kingdom, and he had been there for 30 years, out of United Kingdom for declining to use transgender pronouns, the employment tribunal issued a ruling affirming the dismissal, declaring his biblical beliefs on human sexuality, male and female, are incompatible with human dignity. People, this is the greatest verse of human dignity. You can't come up with a better one. That we're created in the image of God. Belief in Genesis 1:27, lack of belief in transgenderism, and conscientious objection to transgenderism, in our judgment, are incompatible with human dignity and conflict with the fundamental rights of others, especially here, transgender individuals, the panel declared. So, this is what's going on in England. This is what's going on in the world. This book is against the dignity of man. It offers man being created in the image of God. It offers man the salvation to be with God forever and ever. But the world is turning against this book. It's going to get darker and darker. If it's not dark enough or crazy enough for you, hang around. It'll get worse. If you're over 50, I imagine if you're over 50 like me, you just can't believe where we are. But silly things like this. In Alaska, a center, a shelter center for women, battered women, poor women, women out in the dust of life and all these things going on, and a transgender male wanted the right to be able to sleep with them. They went to court. The court in Alaska said, no way, Joe. This is a woman's place, and it's for women. And that's the way it's going to be. So I'm happy for what's going on in America. This is what's going on in the world, and I don't think we're that far behind it. But we are in trouble in the world when we deny the dignity given to us by being created in the image of God. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for creating us in your image and giving to our souls eternality, and then offering us that eternality with you. We praise you, Father, for the way you have made us, cultivated us, and keep us in Christ. We pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Now, This morning we're going to start off with hymn number, was it
216.
216. So let's stand and sing together. Yeah, they want me off the front, I know. Yes, all right. That's for Phyllis. Okay. Now, one of the joys in life, let me give you an example. There are separations designed in life that are unfortunate, but we understand them and generally prepare for them and are happy to see certain things happen. One of those is our children. We have them from birth and nurse and take care of their sicknesses and on and on and on. And then all of a sudden one day they go off to college. And they come home maybe with dirty clothes and stuff like that or needing a few bucks. But they're on their way now. You've done your job. You've done your job. And in all respects, that's over now. And if you've done a good job, you can just rest at peace. And, but it's just always fun to me to see them come back home. And so this has been the first time to be back home since he went to A&M. So come up and tell us what A&M's like. Come up and tell us what the course like, what A&M's like. Does the Lord help you through
the poor? Well, it's good to be back. It's been pretty tough, honestly. It's just a lot going on, and it kind of takes over my life most of the time. But as you can tell, they shaved all my hair off. And it's been hard. It's a transition, and it's something I've never had to deal with before. And then on top of that, like, being away from home is tough. This still feels like home up here. I haven't really settled in where going back is comfortable or anything. But it's been good. There's been a lot of good to come out of it, and just know I'm setting myself up for something good in the future. It's just a step along the way that you got to get through. And I've met some great people and made some good friends through the Corps and everything, and hopefully it continues to get better. Down there, I've been going to church with Cameron and Addy, so it's cool to have them down there. I get to see them like once a week. I won't for a while. They're busy right now. Get to see them like once a week and go to church with them, and then normally just have dinner with them on Sunday nights, and that's neat. And then classes have been going fine. I just did pretty well on my first few exams, and so overall everything's pretty good. Like what classes I'm taking? Well, I'm majoring in engineering, so I'm taking Calculus 1, Chemistry, a Chemistry Lab, Engineering, which is all like programming, computer programming, leadership studies, Air Force customs and courtesies, and an Air Force lab, which is all like marching and leadership stuff. So it's a lot, but it's not too bad at all. And so everything's going pretty good, and I appreciate all the prayers and everything. Oh, okay, well, last week, since we were playing Arkansas, we had to do this thing called fish spurs, and we had to make out of a wire hanger, we had to bend a wire hanger, put some bottle caps on it, and every time we went to class or we were in uniform, we had to put them on our shoes and walk around, and they are the loudest things you could ever imagine. And so I was walking between buildings, and these things are slapping the ground and rattling, and between the buildings, they were echoing off both sides. And it's ridiculous. So just... some of the stuff we have to do is pretty stupid, but you just got to do it. We only had to have 8 because that's the thing that our outfit does, but most of them had to have 23 bottle caps on each shoe. Oh, yeah, ours stuck off the back of our shoe about a foot because we had to, it was just dumb. Oh, my God. Yep, and then I just tried out for the Corps baseball team, and I got told last weekend that I made it, so I'm officially on the Corps baseball team. Yeah, so that's something to look forward to. I won't have to be at any afternoon formations or training time. So that's pretty nice. That's the best part. Just strength to keep getting through it. These next couple weeks or next few weeks are leading up to what we call core brass culmination, and so it's gonna get tougher and tougher as we get closer, and then that's up until Thanksgiving. And so just strength for me and all my buddies to get through it. That would be, yes, mostly mental. Like, physical stuff's hard, but the mental stuff is really the hardest part.
Okay, let's talk about prayer time. And do we have any prayer requests? Let's be in prayer for Tish, as she's still, but she is getting better, right? So that's good. That's good news. And yes. How are you doing, darling?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you very much. I want to thank everybody. How sweet they were.
Thanks for the guys that came out.
Yeah, really appreciate it. Really, and the calls and the texts and the emails, everything.
I talked about your dad last Sunday morning. What I said was that it's a shame I've got to go to a funeral to find some people I'd really wished I'd have known better in their life.
I came here a few times
over the years.
Yeah.
But a super guy. Just a super guy. Wow.
And my prayer request is, Monday or Tuesday this week, I can't remember which day, a dear friend of mine lost her father as well. We're all kind of at that age, and our parents are at that age. So prayers for Wendy.
Okay.
And his service will be Saturday. So
we'll be in prayer for Wendy.
Thank you.
That's good. Yes.
Update on my dad. Well, first of all, my dad went to the hospital this morning. They just took him, so he woke up in a lot of pain in his midsection. Don't know if it's the cancer. Don't know. He's got a hernia that could have ruptured. We're not sure. But I talked to him right before I got in, and they had just gotten him in, and they couldn't even get a blood pressure reading on him. So I don't know. He's alert. He was talking to me on the phone.
Who called the ambulance?
Oh no, Bobby and Jerlyn just drove.
Bobby. Okay. Yeah, very good. Very good. Oh, good.
And then we're going to do his...
We need to be in prayer for Johnny, be in prayer for healing, and the doctors find out what's going on.
Right. And then he's supposed to have that procedure of the chemoembolization for the chemo beads into his tumors, and that's going to take place within the next 2 weeks. We're waiting for the radiologist to come.
Okay.
But we'll see what's happening today. I don't know. That's something new.
We'll be in prayer. Very good.
Yeah.
Any other prayer requests? Yes.
We had a new guy coming yesterday to the cigar church. His name is Casey, and what stands out is he's in a wheelchair, and he's had MS for the last 20 years.
Mm.
So now he's got to the point where he has to do the wheelchair because he really can't walk that far.
Yeah.
But the inspiring part to myself is that about the time this disease came on, he was started leading Jesus Christ. So, and his attitude is phenomenal.
Good.
It really impressed me that he has this, and he's like, it is what it is. You know, God do what he does. And because he did know some scriptures and stuff.
Good. Befriend him and talk about the word with him. Good.
Good. Really impressive. It always inspires me when I see somebody going through that.
Yep. Absolutely. Yes.
We are preparing to kick off the planning for the youth ministry for the next year.
Good.
We have a meeting next Sunday after church. Here, you're invited, guys. And anybody who is interested in being a part, wants to be more involved, or wants to get involved with the planning, by all means, please feel free to stay. We'd love to have your input. We'll come in with some general ideas of what we're going to do, and then we'd love to see where everybody wants to be involved. That'll be after church. Please pray for the planning as it begins, and that God will just show us exactly what He wants us to do for the remainder of 19 and into 20.
Absolutely. And people, it's not too early to start praying for young people that will be coming in 2020.
Right.
That the Holy Spirit will start setting up things in their life, that when they hear what they hear at camp, that's what I need. So please be in prayer. Did I see a hand over here? Okay. I'm Julia. Tell us about.
She's got some kind of stomach problems, and she's had MRIs and CT scans and sonograms, and so we're going to the doctor Monday, and she just says, I just want to know what's wrong with me.
Yeah. So let's be a prayer that they can find out what is torturing Julia at this time. Yes.
Just prayer of thanksgiving. My brother's heart surgery was last Wednesday.
Yes.
And everything went great with it. He should be.
How's he doing?
He's doing good.
Good.
Yeah, just pained it.
What kind of heart surgery did he have?
Have a heart valve replacement.
Heart valve replacement. Okay. Very good. We'll continue being in prayer. Yes, sir.
One more prayer request for Joe Guimon. For y'all that know Joe, Wildman Joe from Camp, that's been involved with our youth ministry for years. He is in the Air Force Special Warfare Selection Process. It starts on Monday, not this Monday, the following Monday. It is going to be absolutely brutal. It's like starting the Navy SEALs program. So it's significantly intense. He's the second oldest guy in the selection process. The other one's 38. He's 31. I said, well, man, you got that guy so
good. you got one guy beat.
It's really, really hard, mentally, physically, and otherwise. So please be in prayer for Joe. You can't remember. Wild Man Joe.
Wild Man Joe. God knows him that way.
And his wife. And his wife, Carrie. It's tough on her, too.
Yep.
Been gone.
Yep.
He told me on Friday, it's 690 days from the time he goes to boot camp to the time he finishes his training. So he is about 6 weeks in. Actually, he's about 12 weeks in. And so he's got a long way to go. And so he's up on her.
Please be in prayer. Please be in prayer. He's a believer and he needs our prayers. Yes.
Brian didn't also mention himself. The kidney doctors are still monitoring, but the kidneys are improving.
Uh-huh.
So if you'll continue to pray for improvement there, for them to come back to their normal state, which is fully what they expect.
Right now they're 40?
43, something like
43, okay.
But the wound in his arm now is not healed, and so the surgeon has asked that we go see a wound care specialist because it's not healed up yet. And
wow.
Just be a prayer that that infection does not set back in the meantime, and that the wound care doctors can get this.
Oh, you do something. You do it right, don't you? No fooling around with you. No fooling around. All right, we will definitely, you're in my prayers every day, so continue to be. Any other prayer requests? I have, yes.
More like a Thanksgiving. So thank you for praying for my family and me. One thing I'd like to add is that I still would like to work on the prayer pages that I started. So just pray that I have enough strength to get through all of my illness that I've been going through. That I just had another asthma attack and lung infection that I'm trying to heal.
Definitely.
And with all of the estate probation that I have to go through in Oklahoma, I'm only going to be able to be here every other week at the most.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll be in prayer.
Yeah, just pray for the
family. Absolutely. Thank you.
I'd like you to be in prayer for my 17-year-old granddaughter. She is a believer in Jesus Christ, and she's been fighting this pain. Went to the hospital this week. And there's so many things going on. It's an autoimmune disease, nerve and vascular disease involved. And as far as the doctors at this point know, there's no cure. And in her leg, the best way they could describe it, it's like putting your hand over top of fire and it just burns and there's nothing you can do. And that's it can get really bad. It can stay constant. But there's no cure. So please be in prayer. Her name is Lola. And if you'll be in prayer for Lola, I would appreciate that very much. Okay, any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. We're a very small and humble assembly. But God has just given us so many wonderful opportunities, the internet, the young people, missionaries, and various things. And so you get to decide what you will do with what God gives you. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory with prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you give this humble assembly. And Father, we pray that you will continue to see fit, that we're seeing fit to give us more challenges and more opportunities to tell others of Jesus Christ in a world that right now doesn't really want him, but there are always those that do throughout the whole world. Father, I pray you will continue to use this assembly. I pray you will receive the offerings we're about to give to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. This music is by David Osborne, Pianist to the Presidents. But when they received this letter, they read it immediately in its entirety in one sitting. So now that we've studied it, this morning we're going to read through. As we read, if you have any questions, if something still isn't clear, please raise your hand. And we'll see if we can make clarity of it this morning. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the church in Colossians 61 or 62 A.D. from prison in Rome. Now, the church of Colossae had several problems, and Paul is addressing them. Now, by the way, some people think pastors shouldn't talk about politics or current things going on. No, people, this is what the pulpit's about. And if you did any study in American history, reading the sermons during the time of our battle for independence from England, they are powerful sermons talking about freedom to worship God. Please remember, that's why they came here. That's why they came here for Europe, for freedom to worship God as they saw fit. And this is just a nation under glass as far as history is concerned. Now, anyway, the Colossians were having several problems. They were presenting serious and immediate dangers to the assembly. The peril, which is danger, of false doctrine, chapter 2, 1 through 7. The peril of false philosophies, 8 through 13, chapter 2. Peril of legalism, chapter 2, 14 through 17. The peril of false mysticism, 18 through 19. And the peril of asceticism, chapter 2, 20 through 23. Now, the answer to every one of these problems, false doctrine, false philosophy, legalism, mysticism, asceticism, is the same. It's the person of Jesus Christ. But before he can say that, Paul saw the necessity to present the exalted glory of Jesus Christ in chapter 1, and then address the problems in chapter 2. So let's begin our reading. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now verses 4 through 8, Paul lists the reason for his interest in these believers. Verse 4, since we heard your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, spiritual love, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit. The word of God is bearing fruit and increasing, even as it was doing in you. And also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. But many people don't understand the truth of grace. They call works grace. It's not. Verse 7. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, whom we've studied the last couple of weeks, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit, spiritual love. So, Paul starts off talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit by faith with result of spiritual love. Verses 9 through 14, Paul's prayer for these believers. Here's his prayer. For this reason also, and people, I like the study prayers. It gives us a clue on how we might could pray various times. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. People, you want to know the will of God? It's spiritual wisdom and understanding from the Word of God. All right, verse 10. So that, there's that important phrase, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. One, to please Him in all respects. Your marriage, your home, your single life, your work, your church. Two, bearing fruit in every good work. And three, increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power, that's the Holy Spirit, according to His glorious might, for the attaining, one, of all steadfastness, and two, patience. And you attain these joyously. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He, God the Father, rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. That is amazing enough about Jesus Christ, but He has much more to say. Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things, living and material. Verse 15, for He is the image of the invisible God, meaning His deity. One, the firstborn of all creation. He was prior to all things, therefore Creator of all things. Two, for by Him all things were created. So He is our Redeemer, possessed to giving us the forgiveness of sins, to being the image of God, to creating all things, both in the heavens and on earth, angelic and human, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Three, all things have been created through Him and for Him. They're created for Him. You and I are created for Him. Verse 17, He is before all things. And four, in Him all things are held together. Jesus Christ is head of the church. We, and never forget this, He is also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the new creation, you and I, the church age, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything, in God's plan and in our lives. Verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure, God the Father's good pleasure, for the fullness to dwell in Him. Christ's work makes Him the head of all things. Verse 20. And through Him to reconcile all things to Himself. Through Jesus Christ to reconcile all things to Himself, God the Father. Having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. This takes us to the angelic conflict, dealing with the angels' creation. Verse 21. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, that's from our first birth. That's how we're all born into the human race. Yet, He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. People, never forget, Christ came to bring us to the Father. The Holy Spirit is your Lord, who takes you to your Lord Jesus Christ, who takes you to your Lord God the Father. Verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away. So many Christians get moved away from the truth, from the hope of the gospel, the confidence of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now, Paul's personal note on Christ being glorified in his own personal sufferings. Verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister, according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. Paul, faithful in his ministry of teaching the Word of God. Please remember, Paul is not teaching just going over the Old Testament. He's teaching things that are totally new, that have never been written before. This is Paul's ministry, and Peter's, and others. All right, verse 26. That is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages, the generation of the Jews and Gentiles, and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonish every man, and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete, that's mature, in Christ. For this purpose, I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. This is what every male with the gift of pastor teacher must do. Strive in the power of the Holy Spirit in the studying and teaching and proclaiming of Christ. Now we're ready for chapter 2. He has laid a good foundation on the glory of Christ, the exaltation of Christ, the mystery, and all that's going on. Now he starts in on why he's written the letter, their problems. So he addresses the dangers lurking this assembly. The first one, the peril of false doctrine. Chapter 2, 1 through 7. And people, there is so much false doctrine today. There is the false gospels, the false gospel, Calvinism, prosperity gospel, lordship gospel, loss of salvation gospel, works gospel, and on and on and on. The evil of people like Rick Warren's Chrislam, and so on. Replacement theology. We could go on and on and on. I could spend the rest of the class talking about the false theology that's going on in the world church today. Dealing also not only with salvation, spirituality, living the Christian life, what it is and what it isn't. Now, the severe conflict of struggle. It's a struggle against false doctrine. Chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for those who have not personally seen my face. Now the solution to false doctrine, verses 2 through 7, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in spiritual love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. So much for false teaching about Christ. Here's where the answer to false doctrine begins, understanding Christ in truth, according to Scripture. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. People, I agree we want our children to have a good education. But it is a shame when Christian parents neglect the treasure of wisdom and knowledge of the Word of God and of Christ. The answer is found in correctly understanding Scripture to head off false doctrine. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. And people, the church today is just endowed with so much delusion, deception, homosexuality, Chrislam, on and on and on, that our young people have to go. Pray for those young people. Pray for Ben Day. They need your prayers. They're in the battle. And the battle is people want to delude them, want to persuade them away from the truth. Continue verse 5. For, even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, by faith, so walk in Him. Here is the vital necessity of understanding how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, by faith. Having been firmly rooted, solid teaching, and now being built up. See, firmly rooted, that's milk. That's good milk for children, for infants. But now built up, solid food, solid teaching of the Word of God in Him. This is constantly growing in His Word. And established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Next, the peril of false philosophy. And people, we are endowed with it. Chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. So many pastor teachers are teaching the philosophy of man, from evolution to the world being millions of years old, no universal flood, psycho-heresy, and it goes on and on and on. The false philosophies that come from the pulpit. Verse 8 introduces the warning. See it. See to it. Warning. How do you see to it? Pay attention. Pay close attention to what you hear. Compare it with the truth of Scripture. And people, that means me and anybody. You don't just take it for granted. Whoever it is, don't do that. Well, if they say it, it's true. Don't do that. Run it through the mill of the Word of God. Find out if it holds true with the Scriptures. That no one takes you captive through philosophy. Philosophy means love of knowledge that does not place Christ at the center. And empty deception, void of truth. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, remember your three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Here you have the elementary principles of the world, like, for an example, what we just read going on in London, in England, calling the Bible indecent. See, that's the thing, it's the teaching of man, and that's their elementary principles of the world. Now, next, rather than according to Christ. Now, Christ is the solution to the philosophy of man. Look at verse 9 now. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. And in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We spent some time on that. Verse 12. Having been buried with Him in baptism, spiritual baptism, at faith in Christ, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all transgressions. Next we have the peril of legalism. It's chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. When people see the failure of not teaching sound doctrine, they seek control of man's legalism, by legalism. Legalism is always put in place of sound, solid teaching. If the Word of God can't straighten out your life, my legalistic code will. I'm sorry to tell you, but since it's in book, I'm not out of line. John MacArthur said he changed his gospel when he saw people in his own church committing sins, adultery, and things like that. And so he said, then that's not enough. It takes lordship salvation. When you you make him Lord, that's how you're saved. And that'll control you. And if you sin, you aren't saved. All false theology. False teaching. But he had to go in with legalism. And preachers do this. People do this. Legalism has a grip. See, spiritual love doesn't have that grip. Grace doesn't have that grip. You have the volition to decide what you want to do. But under legalism, we're going to get you. And if you don't do what we say, you're out. Just like in England. You don't use our transgender incorrect English. They, it, them, when it's a one person, all this stuff, you're out. Well, you're not going to get paid. We're going to control you by our legalism. Well, there's Christian legalism, too, that seeks to control people. Christ's teaching, a correct teaching about Jesus Christ, is a solution to legalism. Remember, a little legalism will not hurt you. It will kill you. Okay, let's take a look. Verse 14. Having canceled out the certificate of debt, that's the Mosaic Law, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. See, the Mosaic Law is hostile. Mosaic Law says, do, and if you don't do, we're going to get you. You're going to get caught. We're going to punish you. All this kind of stuff. The Mosaic Law is against us. Well, Christ took it to the cross. Having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Jesus Christ is victorious in the angelic conflict. Conclusion, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or the new moon, or a Sabbath day. Legalism thrives on judging others. You can always tell if you're a legalistic person, if you find yourself judging, well, look at the way they drive, look at the way they drive, look at the way they this, look at the way their kids are. I would never do that. See, be careful. Legalism loves to judge. It builds you up. You don't see your own problem, but you see everybody else's problem. Verse 17, things which are a mere shadow of that which is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Now, peril of false mysticism, verses 18 and 19. This is the worship of angels, praying to angels, or extreme emotionalism, getting involved in dreams and all this stuff. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize, this is at the judgment seat of Christ, right after the rapture, by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions, dreams he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Why do people get involved in mysticism and emotionalism? Look at verse 19. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Next, the peril of asceticism. 20-23. Some believers have a tendency toward lasciviousness, but many are ascetic, thinking that makes them like Christ. This is the way Christ would act. If you have died with Christ, and it actually is since you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with youth? People, it's going to go. Everything in this world is going to be gone. You want to take something to the judgment seat of Christ that is eternal, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Now, having dealt with the exaltation of the glorification of Christ in chapter 1, having addressed some of the major problems confronting the local church, in chapters 3 and 4, Paul addresses the worthy walk, living your life in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind. It's a battle for our mind. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. People were so occupied with the earth. We're inundated with the television, magazines, people everywhere. Keep your mind on things above. Why? Verse 3, 4. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. People, the statistic is 80% of people that go to church for the first times is because of friends. It's not because of a pastor. It's not because of a bunch of other things. A friend invites them. I hope you will invite friends to Spring Valley Bible Church. Next week we start the great book of Ephesians. Now, verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. Pronounce these the death sentence, the death penalty. Verse 6. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. See? Putting on the new man. Verses 8 through 17. First, put off the old man. To put on the new man, you've got to take off the old man. But now, note the progression of chapter 3. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, set your mind. Verse 3, 4. Verse 5, therefore. Verse 6, 4. Now, verse 8. But now, you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Now putting on the new man, 10 through 17. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, Jesus Christ. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew. Christ ends all racial problems. Circumcision and uncircumcision. Christ, our faith ends any systems of work, meritorious systems of works. Barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, Christ is a solution to economic differences. But Christ is all in all. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, fruit of the Holy Spirit. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. It's amazing how Christians just can't forgive each other, and we're the ones who have the reason for doing it. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, spiritual love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. People, I so much want you to be prayer warriors, and I so much want you to learn in your prayers thanksgiving. I begin my morning every day with thanksgiving, and I end it in bed every night with thanksgiving. People, you've just got to thank Him. Even though you look back, well, not good happened today. You're alive, aren't you? You have the opportunity to serve Him, don't you? Be thankful. Now, family relationships. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, and I love this one, do not exasperate your children, so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive reward of the inheritance, the judgment seat of Christ. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve, not man. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of his wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you have a master in heaven. Verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up for us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for that which I have also been imprisoned. People, I pray you pray for me. I ask you to pray for me. I ask you to pray for the Dags and the Wise as they prepare for the camp. I ask you to prepare for the people that are going to teach these young people. Any opportunity that anyone might have of giving the gospel, be in prayer, that they will have that opportunity to present the gospel in truth. Verse 4, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity, the most to share the gospel of Christ. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. That means truth, sternness, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant, what an epitaph. Beloved brother, faithful servant, fellow bondservant, in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this purpose, that you may know about the circumstances and that our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with Nesimius, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number, that they will inform you about the whole situation here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends his greetings. Also Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, Jewish. And they are proved, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. I hope you're an encouragement to other believers. Epaphras, who is one of your number, bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayer, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, also Demas. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and also Nympha, and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, which we've just read, have it also read in the church of Laodiceans. I'll be taking a plane tomorrow to go to, no. And you, for your part, and read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. We've lost that one in history. Verse 17, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. So, that's the way they dealt with these letters. And then they would spend the rest of their time until they got another one, going over it, understanding it. Teachers would teach it and this type of thing. Next Sunday morning, we will start a new book. We'll start the book of Ephesians, one of the greatest New Testament epistles there is. What's my favorite book in the Bible? The one I'm studying. Okay, let's get ready now for our communion. This is the first Sunday of the month, and so we're going to celebrate communion as our custom. I think everyone here understands the communion service. It's for believers. I tell people what is my position on water baptism. It's fine. If you want to have a baptistry, though, you don't build it in the church. You build it in a window. Baptism is for the community. The communion is for the family, the believers. The baptism, they walk down the street. Well, look at there. There's old Charlie Brown, that bum, and there he is being baptized. Or, there she is. Man, I know stories about her. Look at her, being baptized for with Christ. Man, I'm going to be watching those people. That's what it's about. It's revealing to the public, I'm a follower of Christ now. Changed my life. This is what I'm here for. That's what baptism is about. So, but the communion, that's family. It's for us to enjoy together, the communion with him, communion together. And doesn't have to be. In some churches, they've got so many rules. Who can serve and when can it be done? Some do it every time they meet. Some do it once a week. Some we do it once a month. Some do it once a year. All these kinds. And they have who can serve and all this type of thing. I think one of the most beautiful things in Cameron's wedding a couple of weeks ago, or last week, I guess it was the bride and groom went up, way up here all by themselves, and they took communion. That was beautiful. They didn't have the pastor. the preacher that did their wedding, their dad, his dad, they went up here, and he did it. He is the head of the family now, and he administered communion to them. And that's beautiful. Women in prison, oh, they're supposed to not to have communion because there's no preacher around? Shame on you. See? Communion is done anytime, anywhere. See? It's not the physical, it's the spiritual. It's what's going on inside your head. Do you understand what you're doing? The bread represents the body of Christ. As God, He became man. As man, He took our place on the cross. He rose again, conquering death, justifying us. And then He ascended to heaven. So, the bread represents how we entered into the plan of God. The cup is the Holy Spirit, how we live the Christian life now. He's gone. The disciples said, how are we to live our life? If you leave us, we followed you here, we followed you there. Doubting Thomas said, yeah, we followed you to Jerusalem. I knew bad things were going to happen the moment we went there. And sure enough, they did. You got crucified. See? So, how are we supposed to live? Christ said, I've sent you the Holy Spirit. He will guide you. He will teach you the Scriptures. Christ isn't there to teach the Scriptures any longer. He's gone. But the Holy Spirit teaches us Scripture and guides us in the will of God for our lives. Where we go to school, where we work, respect of our parents, what we do with our money, what we do with our time, on and on and on. All these things by the Holy Spirit. So the communion, I like to do it once a month. It just sort of, going into October, this is how we want to live. Remember how we entered the plan, how we're going to live the plan. So with these things in mind, let's begin with a word of prayer and begin with our elements. Father, first of all, You created us like You. In this respect, Heavenly Father, we're different than animals. We're different than dogs and cats and horses. We're in the image of You. And then, Heavenly Father, by our second birth, You made us into the image of Christ. Father, we praise You for what You've done with our lives and our being. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's our custom that everyone hold the bread until everyone has been served, and then we'll take communion together. On, I just want to clarify something so that there's no mistakes. I said, Vendag and the college kids, hey, we've got Ryan, we've got Nick, we've got a lot of young people here in up to 12th. Be in prayer for them too. They're in the battle. severely in the battle. Okay. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" It is our custom that everyone hold the cup till everyone has been served, and then we will take communion together. In the same manner, he, Jesus Christ, took the cup also after supper. The Passover is over. This is for the church. Saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us into Christ, setting us apart from the world, and we must always remember that we are separate from the world. Father, we pray that in the following month now, we will remember our calling and our walk in the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ, present Christ, exalt Christ in our lives, in our marriage, in our single life, schools, homes, works, church, wherever. Father, we just thank you for this morning, the opportunity and the privilege and the freedom to read Paul's letter to the Colossians. Pray, Father, your Spirit, use these things to the glory of Christ. And Father, we now thank you for the food we're about to partake of and the fellowship we're about to enjoy with each other. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.